Hello and welcome back to the Living Well podcast by Jefferson Health. I'm Jessica Lopez.
And I'm Carly Williams.
In today's episode, we continue our exploration into how stress affects the body, focusing specifically on the nervous system. In case you missed it, part one details how stress affects the heart.
We're interviewing neurologist and sleep specialist Dr. Zeke Wei in this episode. He not only breaks down how stress impacts how our nervous system functions, but he also details how it affects our sleep.
And when we talk about stress, we're talking about both short-term and long-term stress, which Dr. Wei will discuss as acute and chronic stress. We'll discuss how stress can dysregulate our nervous system and brain function, and also dive into recognizing and managing its effects.
And with that, here's our conversation with Dr. Wei.
My name's Dr. Wei. I'm a neurologist and sleep specialist at Thomas Jefferson University. I was trained as a general neurologist. I also have specialized training in sleep medicine. So mostly I see patients with neurological disorders and also sleep disorders.
Today, we're recording part two of our mini-series on how stress affects the body. In our first episode, we discussed how stress impacts heart health. And in this episode, we're focusing on our nervous system. So to start, can you talk about the ways that stress affects the nervous system? And how do we define nervous system so that everyone's on the same page?
Usually, we think of the nervous system as a central nervous system plus the peripheral nervous system. So the central nervous system includes the brain and the spinal cord. The peripheral nervous system can be divided into the somatic nervous system and the autonomic nervous system. The somatic nervous system controls the sensory response and also our motor functions, whereas the autonomic nervous system, those are functions that we don't usually have to take into conscious control. For example, our heart rate and respiratory rate increase in a stressful situation, that is an automatic process that we are not consciously doing. And brain does have an essential role in managing stress, both acute stress and chronic stress, because of all the important function that brain performs, including the emotion, executive function, the memory, speech. I'm a neurologist, so I love the brain. I tend to think about the brain function more than other parts of the nervous system.
How does stress affect the nervous system?
Before I talk about the stress effect, how the stress affects the nervous system, I think it's helpful to discuss this topic in a framework of acute versus chronic stress. So acute stress are stress that happen over a short period of time that occurs in response to immediate stressors, such as a deadline or alarm or minor illness. It typically happens quickly, but it fades once the stressors resolve. In contrast, chronic stress is something that happens over a long period of time, and also it persists over a long period of time. When acute stress occurs, it activates the sympathetic nervous system, which produces the fight or flight response. This response increases the heart rate, the blood pressure, and respiratory rate, and prepares the body to deal with a perceived threat. In contrast, chronic stress can activate a neuroendocrine axis known as the hypothalamic, pituitary, and adrenal axis. The activation of hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenal glands leading to release of stress hormones such as the cortisol and epinephrine. And these stress hormones play an important role in mobilizing energy and prepare the body for dealing with the stress. They also have widespread effects on nervous system as well.
What are some additional ways stress can affect the brain?
There are chemicals in the brain known as neurotransmitters that control widespread functions of the brain, such as emotion, motivation, or other types of brain function. During both acute and chronic stress conditions, the neurotransmitters in the brain, including serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine, can be dysregulated. And the imbalance of these neurotransmitters can contribute to mood disorders and other mental health conditions.
What are some of the other ways that chronic stress impacts the nervous system?
Another effect that the chronic stress can have is by affecting the tissue remodeling of certain parts of the brain. What I mean by tissue remodeling is essentially the sort of the microscopic composition or structural changes that are happening as a result of the function of certain cells, such as the microglia or the astrocytes or the neurons themselves. So our brains are very active. For example, there are new synapses are forming as we learn new knowledge or experiences, and then some of the synapses may get eliminated if they are not important or become weakened. In chronic stress, the microglia, which is a resident immune cells in the brain, become dysfunctional. In normal circumstances, microglia surveillance the brain environment and then repair damaged neurons. And also they prune synapses to strengthen those important crucial neural circuits. But in chronic stress, the microglia can become dysfunctional. They actually prune the synapses more excessively, so it leads to synaptic loss, causing neuronal damage in the brain in specific areas such as the prefrontal cortex, the hippocampus, or amygdala. And these changes can lead to changes in memory, cognition, emotion regulation, or even decision-making processes.
How do researchers study the impact of stress on the brain?
For example, there's animal studies that when animals are subjected to chronic and predictable mild stress, which is a stress model where animals are subject to mild stressful conditions such as crowded housing or lack of food or water or disturbance of the light and dark cycle, then the animals show depressive-like behaviors similar to a major depressive episode in humans. In these animals, there is selective synapse loss in a specific area of the brain called medial prefrontal cortex. And that area of the brain usually responsible for motivation and emotional regulation. So in these animal studies, that chronic stress can affect the tissue remodeling, specific brain areas that are responsible for the emotional regulation that may be contributing to the emotional response that we typically see in chronic stress.
How can we watch for those kinds of symptoms?
People can watch for those symptoms is by sort of take a step back to see how they respond to a stress situation. For example, are there mood disturbances that are sort of out of ordinary for them? Any sort of emotional distress? Sometimes stress can manifest as a physical complaint as well. A very common example that, for example, patients in a chronic stress situation, they may have chronic pain. So although there may not necessarily be a physical source for the pain, but the chronic stress can come out physically as a manifestation of a source for the pain. To really understand if the stress is affecting us is by taking a look at whether we have emotional disturbance or physical disturbance that out of ordinary or that could be linked to the stressors.
And because you are our sleep expert, and I'm just curious, what would be your tip to regulate your nervous system? Because I'm guessing if you're under chronic stress, you're probably also not having great sleep. How would you regulate your nervous system to get better sleep?
That's a great question. The reason is that sleep disturbance and chronic stress have a bidirectional relationship. So chronic stress can contribute to poor sleep, and sleep disturbance certainly can lead to worsening of the stress response as well. We can also discuss this in sort of an acute setting versus a chronic setting. For example, in acute insomnia stage, those are patients who experience sleep disturbance that are less than that is less than 3 months. Usually there is a presence of acute stressor. So the management of sleep in that circumstance focus on stress management as well as lifestyle changes. For example, if they have an irregular sleep schedule because of acute stress, we ask patient to regular sleep schedule to go to bed and wake up at regular hours and having enough sleep that's for average adult is 7 to 9 hours. And then additionally, there's stress reduction strategies that they can use to help them reduce the stress and also improve their sleep. Those could include things such as relaxation techniques. There are mindfulness practices. There are also specific cognitive behavior strategies that can help patients with acute stress or acute insomnia. When chronic stress persists, sometimes the sleep disturbance also evolves into a chronic insomnia, that is, sleep insomnia symptoms that persist more than 3 months. So then the treatment, in addition to the lifestyle interventions, then we place more emphasis on cognitive behavior therapy to improve sleep quality and also to reduce the stress response. In addition to that, sometimes there's a role for medications to help with sleep, and those medications are generally as sleep aids. More and more, we realize sleep aids are not great medication to be used for long term, but certainly in short term, they can have a role in both improving the sleep quality or duration and improve patients' quality of life.
Is it possible for your brain to form new synapses once you're better able to manage stress symptoms?
We do think that there is potential for reforming new synapses, strengthening weak synapses. That's essentially neuroplasticity. So there is potential for new synapses to form and then for new neural circuits to form as well. So the brain does show plasticity in forming those connections.
Well, that's hopeful.
And at what point would you recommend someone reaching out to their neurologist or sleep medicine specialist if they're affected by their stress?
A good point to reach out to professionals is when patient feel or someone feel they're very bothered by their symptoms and also feel their social well-being or their functional performance, either in their personal life or at work, are impaired. So that's why I think getting professional help is helpful or even necessary.
How do you personally manage stress, Dr. Wei?
I try to use mindfulness practice. One thing about the mindfulness practice is sort of acceptance. I think for me, it's helpful if I make a distinction between my stress response versus the stressor. Sometimes I may not necessarily be able to change the external stressor. So the deadline is there. For example, if there is a loud noise or some circumstances that is the stressor, I cannot change it. But what I can change is my response towards the stressor. That helped me reduce my level of stress and also to be able to deal with more calmly because there are things that we can do within ourselves to facilitate our stress response to make it more productive.
Be sure to check out the show notes for additional resources, including the link to the Living Well blog where we publish full episode transcripts.
And if our conversation with Dr. Wei on how stress affects sleep sparked your interest, check out our show notes for a link to our podcast on the top mistakes we make with sleep and how to get better rest.
And as always, if you enjoy our podcast, we truly appreciate a rating on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Fun fact, the full podcast episodes are also available on our YouTube channel at Jefferson Health.
Production support for today's episode provided by Brittany Rafalak and Barbara Henderson. We're your hosts, Jess Lopez
and Carly Williams. Be well and stay tuned for part 3 of our mini-series, exploring how stress impacts our digestive system.